pray right now, your will be done tonight. Thank you, God, for what we felt in this place. God, I just pray that you'll speak to every heart, that you'll anoint your servant, your God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight, examples of life's different contrast. Example of life's different contrast. What are those things in your life, folks, tonight that bring your heart closer to God? Think about it for a minute. What are those things in your life that bring you closer to God? And then think about what are those things that drive you further away from God? You see, we learn from studying contrast. We're going to look in the book of Luke tonight, chapter 18. There are contrasts in this book. There are two kinds of people represented here. Those that think they have it together and those that know they don't. You see, Jesus gives us the contrast between them by showing us various different pictures. And the idea is to give us a picture of what our approach to God should be like, but what often in reality we do. So we see in this chapter a Pharisee contrasted with a sinner. They're more alike than they even know. You see, children contrasted against adults. A rich young ruler who thinks he has everything, who really has nothing. Contrasted with Savior who has everything but gives it all up. A man who has left out, was left out by society but received by that Savior. Contrasted with those who stood in the way of faith. And Jesus sets the stage with the parable in Luke 18, verse 1 through 8 says, and he others who say, God has got to have what I have to give. In Luke 18, 9 through 14, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pharisees, they did not recognize their own sin. He thinks that God is happy with him the way he is. And the tax collector, he knows he cannot draw near God. He cries for mercy. Do we justify ourselves before God? Do we look around and see people that are a little more sinful on the outside than we are, and we think that we are better than they are? You see, it can happen very subtly. But it is like someone covered with brown mud, thinking they are clean, while the person who is covered with black mud is the only one who's dirty. They're dirty just the same. In Isaiah 64 and 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. Don't fall into the trap of comparative righteousness, folks. Come on. In Luke 18, 15 through 17, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Children. What do? They trust. They are dependent. Do we empty ourselves before God and say, God, I trust in you. God, I am totally dependent upon you. God, I am nothing without you. Hallelujah. Folks, we have to approach heaven as children. Amen. God said if we don't, we will not inherit the kingdom. The problem with many adults is that we think that we know so much because we've been through so much. But in reality, we are just as much in need of God as little children are for their very basic needs that is provided by adults. Kids are often very trusting, and they approach life with an innocence. They initially know this just automatically, that they need to be taken care of. They magically wear off. That need for her mom and dad magically starts wearing off as they get older. Amen? But folks, have the wears and the tears of life given you a jaded opinion of God? An adult receives with experience and control. We should have neither when it comes to approaching God. Jesus encourages us to reach up with little hands and depend on him innocently and compassionately. Say, God, I need you today more than I needed you yesterday, God. I want you to touch my life today, God. Help me, Lord, today just to make it through today. Luke 18. 18 through 30, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. You see, this rich young ruler, he was very self-reliant. He was proud. He was looking for self-justification. And I ask you today, have we left all behind to follow Jesus? The first thing in this story is where Jesus forces this man to begin to recognize who Jesus really is. He is God. See, we cannot come to Jesus looking for a self-help guru, folks. We don't come to Jesus looking for a genie. Amen. We don't come to God looking for a business partner. We cannot come to Jesus looking for a self-help guru. Just rub that bottle a little bit. Jesus, I need you to do this right now. This rich man represents what we worship in our society. What do we worship? We worship youth. We worship wealth. We worship power. We worship fame. These are also often the most common things that keep us from salvation. The rich man had his theology right, folks, and even appeared to have external righteousness down like the Pharisees. But what Jesus often does is he goes into one thing that stands in our way. In this case, it was the man's riches, which were his real God. That was his God. He was looking for self-justification, and Jesus was looking for a disciple. Jesus will do that for us, folks. For you, it may be your intellect tonight. You may be really smart. And Jesus knows that that may be your real God. Come on. For others, it may be a relationship. This relationship is more important to me than what God really wants. And that is your God. For others, it might be your good looks. And that is your real God. Maybe it's your job, your employment position. What is your God tonight? If there is anything you are not willing to give up, then you are not ready to serve Jesus Christ. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You see, there's something about great wealth that seems to make people blind to their need for a Savior. If my worldly needs are met, then my spiritual needs must be met in the same way. You see, folks, nothing could be further from the truth. In Luke 18, 31 and 34, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And the saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken." You see, folks, Jesus willingly lays down his life to serve others. Have we laid down our lives to die with him? Luke inserts Jesus once again, talking about his mission. And this is apparently now the third time he has told his disciples this, and it is so plain. But they didn't get it. Until we actually come to an end of ourselves. Hear me tonight. Until we come to the end of ourselves, just as these disciples will soon enough experience the death of Jesus for us, it is only then that we can truly understand what Jesus did. Truly, folks, here we must, as Jesus said, take up our cross and follow him. We must die in order to live. You see, it's not about what I want. It's what he wants. Amen? He knows. Do you really trust him that he knows what's best for you? You see, when you won't give up certain things, when certain things are more important to you than God, you don't trust him. Luke 18, 35 through 43, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This blind beggar, you see, he knows what he wants and that he needs mercy. He doesn't let barriers stand in his way of what he needs and what he wants. Amen. Folks, have we looked to him for healing? Amen. Have we looked to God for our healing in our lives? Have we looked to God for our mercy? Though it was a Jewish tradition, folks, to care for these less fortunate, the truth was that many of these people who were blind and lame, they were reduced to begging on the sides of roads for their existence. This blind beggar must have heard about Jesus somewhere. He calls him the Son of David. And it's a title for the Messiah in Isaiah 11. And once this guy recognizes that it was the Messiah that was near him, he pulled out all the stops. Amen. He shamelessly cries out to the only thing that he really has. He can't run to Jesus. He can't hold on to him. But he can only cry out for mercy. Amen. Folks, You may find too that the world around you will try to hold you back. And if you cry out your need to Jesus, amen, whatever you have within you, don't let the world stop you, amen, to really seek. I need the mercy of God in my life. I need a touch of God in my life. There's nothing in this world that will hold me back. What is it tonight that's holding you back from getting what you need from God? It's interesting that Jesus asked the blind beggar what he wants. Wasn't it obvious?
What do you want?
He's crying out. He can't see. I'm sure he's wearing the robe of a beggar. He's seen beggars. He's seen people on the side of the road before. He's seen blind people. And Jesus said, what do you want? It's obvious, isn't it, God? The blind beggar could have said, Lord, I want you to blast all those people who try to stop me. Right? He could have asked, I want riches. He could have demanded help from Jesus because, well, after all, he deserved it for his bad lot in life. But the man realized, I lack sight. How many times should we ask the Lord to give us sight as well as healing? Give us sight, God, as well as mercy. God, give us sight as well as whatever. Some people are as blind as bats in their hearts. But they ask for those things that will bring them happiness. But lack the one thing that will set them free. Let's stand here tonight. Let me tell you things that take our heart further away from God tonight. There are things that take our hearts further away from God. And the first thing is self-righteousness. Self-justification. Independence. Self-determination. These things will take you further away from God. But there are also things that brings our hearts closer to God. Things like humbleness. Things like dependence. Being innocent. Being determined to get to know God. Being persistent after the things of God. I ask you tonight, where are you? If you come up here tonight and God says, what do you need? What is it that you really need? What's keeping you back? What holds you back from seeking after God like this blind beggar? What is it? Can you cry out to Him tonight? Can you cry out to God tonight? I need you. Jesus! I need you! God, I don't want anything to hold me back. Have mercy on me, God. I need you. Folks, I'm telling you, we all need God tonight. More than you even think you need God. God, help me to have, Lord God, a desire to do for you. What is it tonight that will hold you back from seeking God? Come on, this altar's open. Hallelujah. God, have your way right now. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. We need you, God.
He's jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy.